Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, on the draft coming up in 30 minutes. We are absolutely loaded. We'll look at the positions that matter the most, but there's something about the NFL draft I can't get out of my head. And that is, everybody, when it comes to the draft, everybody talks about what you need, right? Like Mel Kiper Jr., they'll be sitting there on the panel and it'll be team needs. And it's like, well, I really like this player. He's the third best player on my board, but they're picking eighth and they really need a tackle. So I think they'll take a tackle here with this pack. And more times than not, they take what they have to get. I remember the year that the Titans had the Corey Davis pick, which was from the Rams at 5, and they had the Adoree Jackson pick, which was their own, I believe, at 17. And I remember literally taking calls, Jared, we need to draft a wide receiver and a corner. And there they went, drafting a wide receiver and a corner. And something I can't get out of my mind is this. Ryan Tannehill is not young. I don't feel like I'm knocking Ryan Tannehill when I say that. But he's not young. He's not old, but he's not young. And the reason I bring this up is because the Titans have the 22nd pick in the draft. They tell me there will be pass rushers with that 22nd pick in the draft that will be sitting there at number 22 who the Titans can draft. But remember that every player is considered to be a good player before the NFL draft. You never watch the coverage on NFL Network with Daniel Jeremiah or ESPN with Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay, and you never see them say, and with the 15th pick, they take Johnny Joe, the linebacker, out of Penn State. Mel, what do you think? Well, I got to tell you, I think this guy's a total bum. You never see that. There was the one time Mel Kiper did it, when he went bananas about the Indianapolis Colts drafting Trev Alberts instead of Trent Dilfer. And remember, that led to the general manager of the Colts going on ESPN with Chris Mortensen and go, who the hell is Mel Kiper? And one of the all-time great moments of the NFL draft. But very rarely does Mel just absolutely knock a guy and say, I think he's a total bust. I don't even know why they have him in there. I think he stinks. You're just not going to see that a lot. Ryan Tannehill is under contract for this year, next year, and the Titans have a potential out before his age 35 season. There's 3 more years for Tannehill, though, to be the quarterback until he turns 36. I'm not sure I really project Tannehill being the starting quarterback at age 36, but stranger things have happened. Aaron Rodgers is still a quarterback. Tom Brady's still a quarterback. There are guys who can play at that age. But what if the guy you love, you just love him, you are John Robinson, you've done your homework on this draft, kind of like Andy Reid and Brent Veach did on their draft when they had a starting quarterback. They were sitting in a playoff position, and they saw Patrick Mahomes' tape, and they said, oh, God, I love this guy. And then without anybody having any idea, on draft night, they made a move to get Mahomes. What if you're sitting there at 22? And you just love one of these quarterbacks? Now, I think we know Trevor Lawrence is going to be gone, as is Zach Wilson, as is Justin Fields, as is probably Trey Lance, who I don't really know anything about, out of North Dakota State, and as is Mac Jones out of Alabama. There's a chance Jones lasts, but I doubt it. Maybe Trey Lance, maybe, you know, the people are buying into him, but there's just not enough there. I don't know. But what if John Robinson's done his homework and has scouted all of these players? I mean, really scouted them. And Davis Mills, a 6'4", 225-pound kid out of Stanford, is the guy. He just looks at him, and he sees the ability, and he sees the size, and he sees the Stanford brain, and he sees everything that he's broken down. He's seen every play of film, and just loves him, and believes in him. Or Kyle Trask out of Florida is sitting there. Or Kellen Mond. I mean, it's hard for me to look at Kellen Mond and think that Kellen Mond could be the next Patrick Mahomes, but who knows? But the guy you love is sitting there at that quarterback position. You know he's not going to play next year. We saw Green Bay do this last year with Jordan Love. I mean, it might be a good pick. It might be a bad pick. We don't know. But we're going to let it play out in Green Bay, because the last time we let it play out in Green Bay, they flipped the keys from one Hall of Famer to another Hall of Famer. Going into the 2018 draft, everybody, Baker Mayfield went number one, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, number 32, Lamar Jackson. 2 years later, he's league MVP. To think that it's crazy that a quarterback would be sitting there at 22 that you just love and could see being the quarterback of your team for the next 15 years is not impossible. But you don't need a quarterback. So what would you do? You're Robinson. You're sitting there. And Davis Mills, you just love him. And you watch all the TV shows, and you see Mike Tannenbaum, and you see Mel Kiper, and you see Todd McShay, and you see him going goo goo gaga over Mac Jones, and you're thinking, yo, Mac Jones has nothing on Davis Mills. Davis Mills is going to be the next superstar. And you're sitting there at 22, and you still need pass rushers. But do you pass on the guy you think is going to be a big-time quarterback? Andy Reid didn't pass. He traded up. I asked that question to Teron Davenport. I said, TD, what would you do? Situation, quarterback is sitting there that you want. You know, the Rodgers situation, the Lamar Jackson, the guy you believe in. You're John Robinson. Do you take him? Is it crazy if the Titans were to consider it, if they really liked him?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts to consider that, because Ryan Tannehill is clearly the guy, and he hasn't shown any signs of wearing down or anything like that. I think, you know, you're going to get another at least 2 years out of Tannehill. And at this point right now, you really have to look at adding players who are going to help that team right now. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to look at. And Mac Jones, Kyle Trask, no, they're not going to help the team right now. They have a very solid core of players that are capable of winning now, and you have to complement that with draft picks. So absolutely not. I would now, if somehow Zach Wilson or Justin Fields are on the board there, yeah, I might look at it, but I'm still going to be like, nah, we need to help this team right now.
Can you really do that? Like, even if Zach Wilson, and I, you know, Trevor likes Zach Wilson, says he thinks he can play right now. Now, he's not going to be on the board. I mean, the key to this, like the Lamar Jackson thing, is you got to convince everybody else that that guy's not any good. But if he's sitting there on the board, the guy you love, is it really all that crazy because you don't need a quarterback? The Titans traded for DeMarco Murray when they drafted Derrick Henry. They didn't need a running back in the second round. I mean, the Titans had two starting tackles, Michael Orr and Michael Roos, when they drafted Taylor Lewan in the first round. They didn't need a tackle. I mean, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know what? If he's there, could you imagine the shocker too if Robinson were to draft the quarterback on draft night? But it does kind of make sense, right? Like, if you think that that guy that is sitting there on the board is a franchise guy, maybe it was a little easier for the Ravens when they had Joe Flacco, and they could trade back into the back end of the first round, and they could draft Lamar Jackson, and then they could say, hey, we're going to develop Lamar for a little bit, but Joe's our quarterback. They had already used a first-round pick that year on Hayden Hurst. But is it really all that different? I mean, ask yourself this. You think that Baltimore regrets that decision? You think Green Bay regrets the decision? They didn't need a quarterback. They had Brett Favre. So I'm just saying, hey, when the chips fall on draft night, Robinson does not have to go after what he needs. And I'm a guy who would say, hey, just go take four pass rushers and be done with it. But you know what? If you've really done your homework, if you really believe in a guy at that position, I think you have to take him. I think it's like Bill Polian said, that he had Tom Brady graded as a first-round quarterback, but of course he wasn't going to draft a quarterback because they had Peyton Manning. And every time we'd bring that up off the air, Floyd would laugh because he goes, if you're sitting there in the fifth round and you've got a guy graded as a first-round quarterback, you're going to draft him in the fifth round. You're going to draft him in the fourth round. You're probably even going to draft him in the third round. If you've got him graded as a first-round quarterback. So just food for thought. What would you do? And if Robinson were to do something crazy like that, I think I'd be here for it. I think I would like it. And I will explain why I would like it. Because there is a reason why. There's a reason why I would like it. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Calls and text. Stillman and Company's live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Mac Jones, University of Alabama. His floor is number 8. Carolina Panthers. Go back to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Matt Rhule loved him. It's no secret they're looking for a quarterback. So Mac Jones' floor in this year's draft is number 8. A lot of speculation about New England. If New England, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, if they have conversations and that goes well, New England's going to have to get above 8 to go get Mac Jones.
That was Mike Tannenbaum talking about Mac Jones, saying, hey, they got to get to 8 where Carolina is if they want that quarterback. And again, all these mock drafts have 5 quarterbacks going in the top 10. When's the last time 5 quarterbacks went in the top 10? I mean, seriously, what are the odds that one of those guys is going to be a bust? I'd say probably pretty high. But I keep wondering, if the perfect guy fell to the Titans at 22, would you lose your marbles on draft night if the Titans went quarterback? Think about what Green Bay did last year with Jordan Love. Not only have they traded up to get Jordan Love, would you lose your marbles on draft night if that was what happened? By the way, it should be noted, Andrew texts into the text line. Our text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew texts into the text line and says, if the Titans took Mac Jones, I would burn my season tickets and all of my two-tone blue gear. Other than that, I trust J-Rob. I don't know how I feel about Mac Jones. I would say this. You might burn all your gear when they do that on draft night, but if Mac Jones becomes the next Peyton Manning, you'll probably wish you had kept your season tickets. That's the thing about quarterbacks in the draft. It is such a crapshoot at that position because there are so many factors that go into it. I was thinking about this the other day. Is Matt Ryan a success in the draft? Is Matthew Stafford a success in the NFL draft? They had a couple of good seasons here and there, but ultimately didn't really win a whole lot for their clubs. And yet they've been decent. But when you draft number 1 and you're looking for a franchise guy, are you looking for a franchise guy that can carry you to multiple Super Bowl appearances, multiple conference championship games? You know, outside of Matt Ryan's one amazing season, what do the two of those guys have to show for it? I mean, yeah, I guess they're not busts, but, you know, they're so-so. One thing that I would think about when it comes to the draft, and Trevor's going to join us, and we'll always talk about edge rushers and positions the Titans need and things they've got to go do. And one thing I would say is, hey, John Robinson seems to draft a lot better when he is not drafting for need. Let's think about his drafting history. When he needed a right tackle, he took Jack Conklin. That was a good trade. When he needed a pass rusher, he took Kevin Dodd. Not so much. When he didn't need a running back because he had DeMarco Murray, he drafted Derrick Henry. That one's pretty good. When he didn't need a defensive tackle because he had Jarrell Casey, he drafted Jeffrey Simmons. When he didn't need a wide receiver because he had Corey Davis and Adam Humphries, he drafted A.J. Brown. When he didn't need a safety because he had Jonathan Cyprian and I believe Denoris Searcy, he drafted Kevin Byard. You see what I'm getting at with John Robinson? It just seems to me like John Robinson is a much better drafter when he's not looking for need. So we can talk about the need at positions in the draft, and they need a pass rusher. I told you in a perfect world, my plan would have been, okay, let's sign J.J. Watt. Let's sign a guy, you know, minimum salary guy coming off of an injury, needs a change of scenery, you know, 1 year, $3 million guy, and hope that we can get the best out of him. But if nothing else, at least he's a body. Let's draft a guy in the first round. Let's draft a guy in the third round. And that with Harold Landry, that should be enough. Let's go. And that still would have been my plan had J.J. Watt not signed with Arizona, had I been able to get J.J. to take a more reasonable contract. But Robinson's a much better drafter when he's not drafting for need. The need picks he's hit on. I mean, think about last year. They needed a right tackle, Isaiah Wilson. They needed a corner, they drafted Christian Fulton. The need picks that John, don't even get me started on Corey Davis. The need picks that the Titans have hit on, off the top of my head, I can go with two. They hit on Jack Conklin when they needed a right tackle, and they hit on Nate Davis when they needed a right guard. Other than that, they didn't hit on Harold Landry when they needed a pass rusher. They used a third-round pick combined with their second-round pick to go up and get Harold Landry. They haven't hit on Rashawn Evans. It's the picks that work out for Robinson when he just takes what he doesn't need. And what that tells me is that when he manages the board, when he gets to pick and is sitting there looking for what he wants and not necessarily what he has to go pick, he is a much better general manager. I don't know if that is how all the general managers are in the league, but he clearly is a much better general manager when he lets the player come to him than when he tries to go after the player. So while every mock draft that is written between now and next month will have Azeez Ojulari, Quiddy Pay, Jalen Phillips, Gregory Rousseau, Zaven Collins, all of these, you know, linebacker defensive end types that can go get after the quarterback. Every single mock draft is going to have those guys to the Titans. Just remember, hey, is it really in the best fit when you think about Robinson's history and drafting and how the fact that drafting for need hasn't really worked out? That's why if he comes through in this year's draft and it's like with the 22nd pick, the Titans take a guard, we may get mad about it, but that probably tells me that that guard one day is probably headed to the Hall of Fame. Because when he doesn't have to need it, he picks it a whole heck of a lot better. He didn't need a safety when he drafted Amani Hooker. He didn't need a tight end when he drafted Jonnu Smith. And I think there's probably two parts to this. I think the first thing is when you don't need something and you draft it, it gives you time to develop it. It takes the pressure off of that guy. I mean, going into last year, we were optimistic, the 2019 season, we were optimistic about the Titans. But it wasn't like we were looking at the offense saying, hey, A.J. Brown is the man. And when A.J. Brown gets in there, A.J. Brown is going to be, I don't think we looked at it like that. I remember watching one training camp, because A.J. got hurt in training camp, which the injury thing is a little bit of a concern with A.J. A.J. got hurt in training camp. And I remember thinking, man, he looks big out there in practice. Didn't think much of it. First game of the year, he catches like four balls for 100 yards. Then he goes to Atlanta and he has a day. And it's like, I'd say A.J. Brown's pretty good. And so I would keep that in mind. By the way, big news on the Predators front. David Poile went on the midday show earlier today and said, hey, you know, give us the next couple of weeks and let's see about rebuilding. That decision might have already been made for him. Apparently, the Predators have placed Ryan Ellis on injured reserve with an upper body injury. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. Luke Cunnan is on IR with a lower body injury, 2 to 4 weeks. And Ryan Johansson has been placed on the COVID list. So, not looking good for the Predators. And in fact, you know, I'm sure I'll get into it with Hal Gill later today about this, but I have always maintained that Ekholm is better than Ellis. I feel like Ryan Ellis is so unreliable, not just as a player, but from a health standpoint. He is either always hurt or there is an injury that he's trying to play through that makes him worse. And he gutted it out, and I thought he was great during the cup run. But other than that, he has really gotten manhandled in these playoffs. And you all can tell me Ryan Ellis is great. I'm just watching the games, and I'm living in reality. And I think one of the big misses, when all said and done, and everybody talks about, you know, Poyle messed this up or Poyle messed that up. But the one thing that nobody's going to remember, except for me, because I thought it was a big deal at the time, and that was they never should have signed Ryan Ellis. That was the move. When we talk about restocking the prospects, restocking the picks, that was the move, was to deal Ryan Ellis before the final year of his deal. But when you're going for it, sometimes you can't see the forest from the trees. You don't think long term. You're thinking about next season. You're not thinking about after that. And there's another injury for Ryan Ellis. Trevor Maddich joins us next. His thoughts on the draft. 615-737-1025. Hey, let me tell you guys about my most recent moving experience. That was with my friends at TriStar Moving. Everybody, including me, normally hates moving, and that was until I found TriStar Moving. At TriStar Moving, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process, and that's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. Today, one of my friends put up on Instagram. She was like, I'm looking for a new moving company. Does anybody have any good recs? And I was like, you know, sprinting with my fingers and my phone to try to tell her, hey, TriStar Moving. I'm like, they're awesome. I had one friend that's used TriStar Moving multiple times, moved his dad. And he's like, dude, I got to use them. He's like, they are fantastic. And they will send the A team out for you. Those owners, Garrett and Robert, they are great. They care about this community. That's why my friends love using TriStar Moving, because of them. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website at nationalmoving.org/radio. They'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving at 615-640-1219. Visit them at nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared sent you for 5% off your entire move. Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5. The game, NFL draft season is upon us. We will keep that focus on the draft. So a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of mock drafts are coming out. Every single person has the Titans drafting a pass rusher, an edge rusher. So sometimes it's a defensive end. Sometimes it's a guy playing the outside linebacker position. They kind of move them all around wherever they have them. And a texter said into the text line, you know, John Robinson, for whatever reason, gets a C-plus in drafting, talking about the fact that Robinson is much better when drafting just best player available than for a need. And he says, the Titans should be better at drafting regardless of need or not. I give John Robinson a C-plus at drafting. It's time for him to start doing better. And when you look at the first round, Conklin, Davis, Jackson, Evans, Simmons has been pretty good, and then obviously Isaiah Wilson's a total mess. I think you can make that point. Then again, Derrick Henry's pretty good, Kevin Byard's pretty good, A.J. Brown's pretty good. There's a lot of players there that are pretty good. And Trevor Maddich joins us now, ESPN College Football Analyst, brought to you by Houston Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trev, let's start with this. John Robinson, we were just going over this, talking about, you know, if a quarterback was there that he loved, and the Titans are sitting there at 22, and let's say it's Mac Jones, but whoever. I brought the idea of if the Titans have done their scouting and Davis Mills out of Stanford is just, they think he's the next Mahomes. Do you make the move even though you don't need that player? They drafted Derrick Henry when they had DeMarco Murray. They drafted A.J. Brown when they didn't need a receiver. Do you make that move if you're the Titans sitting there at 22 with a 33-year-old Tannehill?
I think you make that move at most positions just because, generally speaking, I think it's a mistake to reach for a player of need. In other words, draft a guy because you need that position, but he doesn't have a grade to justify that spot. And you've got other guys rated higher than him on your board for that spot, but in a position that you don't necessarily need. If you reach down to draft a position of need, what you do over time is you end up populating your roster with a lower level of overall talent. And you're right. I mean, you never know when guys are going to get hurt, when free agents, there's all kinds of things that can happen where all of a sudden that guy you didn't think you needed ends up becoming your big star, right? And then you might be able to get draft capital out of the guy that he replaced. So I think that's the case, and it needs to be that way for every position except quarterback. Quarterback's a little bit of a different issue because when you bring in a quarterback in the first round, then it tells your starter something. It tells him that he's on the clock. And just take a look at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers right now, I think the biggest concern he's had for having Love be drafted by the Packers in the first round was not that Love could beat him out, but that the clock was ticking on Aaron Rodgers' career, and that clock was not Aaron Rodgers' ability to play. That clock that was ticking was Love's rookie contract running out, and they've got to find out what they've got there, and he's got to be their quarterback so they know if they want to re-sign him or not. And regardless of Rodgers and how he's doing, Rodgers has to look at that and say, hey, my performance doesn't matter. His contract running out is what matters. And so I think that when you draft a quarterback, because of the nature of that position, I wouldn't draft a guy in the first round unless I had a plan to transition away from the current guy that I have. And I think right now Tannehill is way too young and playing at way too high of a level to bring in a guy that's not going to help the team unless Tannehill gets hurt. I wouldn't do it at that position of quarterback. Now, Davis Mills, you mentioned him. He's an intriguing guy because he's a big, powerful guy, 6'4", pocket passer, big arm, NFL arm, and all that. But he didn't start that many games at Stanford. I mean, he only started maybe 7 or 8 games. Certainly this last year, with the Pac-12 only having 6 games in their regular season, he hasn't had a chance to develop at the college level. So he's a guy that if you want to take him for the future, don't take him in the first round because of the message it says for Tannehill. But a guy like that, you could take maybe in the third round and just have him be a guy that isn't threatening to Tannehill right now and see if he develops. But no, I don't like taking that first round heir apparent quarterback unless you've got a clear plan that you're going to transition away from the guy that you have.
Don't you kind of feel like, though, other teams that have done that in the past, it's worked out a lot better than maybe trying to take at the beginning of a draft? And I go back to Rodgers and Green Bay. I think about Lamar Jackson a couple of years ago for Baltimore. I mean, those teams had starting quarterbacks, and they drafted a guy in the first round. And obviously, I mean, nobody could ever ask for a better transition from Favre to Rodgers. Or the way the Ravens, you know, they were pretty much on life support, and Lamar Jackson came in and totally re-energized that franchise. I just don't feel like the way that, you know, the Mel Kuypers and everybody else, you know, rank the quarterbacks is necessarily how it's going to play out in real life.
Well, you make a good point, but I would suggest this, that every team that drafts a quarterback in the first round already has a quarterback. And, you know, the quarterback with Baltimore was kind of an aging guy that had won a Super Bowl, but, you know, he just wasn't that. You know, they just weren't solid at quarterback, and they wanted to move on. I think Green Bay, so I thought it was smart of the Ravens to do that if they're up to that. And you know me, I don't like drafting quarterbacks in the first half of the first round at all. I just don't like it. I'd rather you draft other guys, build up the team. And it's not because I don't think that you don't need an elite quarterback play to get to the Super Bowl and to win it. You do. It's just that historically, when you look at guys that look at the starting quarterbacks over the last 10 Super Bowls, right, and count each one of them once, only count Brady once, only count the Mannings once, you know, that kind of a thing, you have just as much chance to have your quarterback take you to the Super Bowl and start in the Super Bowl by drafting him in the first half of the first round as you do if you draft him after the first half of the first round, not in the first round at all, or you're not even the team that drafted him. When you add all that together, now you've got a better chance of having a quarterback take you multiple times to the Super Bowl. But when you talk about how you get your starter at quarterback, there's more ways to get him than to take him with the first pick in the draft, right? And so I'm not crazy about that. But at the same time, I think Brett Favre would disagree with you, Jared. I think he's the one that would think that the one guy that would think it wasn't a good transition. He didn't like that. But the Packers already knew that Favre was on the way out, and they wanted to have their guy in there. And so I think that's part of it. I don't think the Packers this time around did the right thing with Love, because I don't know that Love is that good. Coming out of Utah State, I had a great season. The year before he came out, had a great season, but he had a whole bunch of receivers and offensive linemen go to the NFL. The next year, he had normal Utah State Mountain West Conference-style players. He wasn't good. He wasn't good. And it's not just that his numbers went down, it's that he didn't elevate the guys that were around him very well, and he just made a lot of unnecessary mistakes. I think Green Bay would have been much better off taking a position player that could help Aaron Rodgers win the Super Bowl in his few remaining years there and get another Super Bowl championship there and then worry about the future at quarterback. by taking Love in the first round, they got a guy that's not going to help them win the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, and there's no guarantee that he's going to be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback anyhow. So I think they made a mistake in making that pick.
Trevor Maddich is our guest, ESPN College Football Analyst, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trev, Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft has the Titans drafting Jalen Phillips, an edge rusher out of Miami. Got a little bit of concussion issues in his past, but he has Jalen Phillips at 22. How do you feel about Mel's latest mock of the Titans?
Well, if he stays healthy, and that's an if. Now, the concussion issues were mostly at UCLA. He went to UCLA first, then he transferred out to Miami, and he was pretty durable there, near as I can tell. In other words, not knowing the doctors there. But I think that's good. If they are certain that he loves football as much as he loves his music career, because he makes music, and that could be a problem, especially a touchy kind of thing with Isaiah Wilson showing up and not really caring about football all that much. At least it didn't seem like he did. So as long as they're sold that he loves football, then they probably have the single most technically excellent pass rusher from a standpoint of technique and about stacking moves in this draft. And so if they're certain in their due diligence about the guy, his health and his commitment, then yeah, I'd be absolutely fine with that, because really the Titans last year, they were just historically bad at getting to the quarterback, historically bad at getting to the quarterback. And they need another guy to be able to call them. And I think they have a good future. I think Landry, I think Simmons, I think those guys are going to grow into outstanding football players. They already are playing at a pretty high level for the most part. But I think they need that guy that's that flash. And Phillips, if he stays healthy, is that guy.
How do you kind of look at the pass rushers in this class, and how would you know whether or not a pass rusher is going to work out at the NFL level from college?
You know, that's an outstanding question. And I think you look at the NFL guys that are out there now that are the best pass rushers or have been outstanding pass rushers. And I think you can look at the Washington football team and you can see bookends. You can see the guy that is one of the leading stackers in the history of that franchise. You know, Charles Mann, Dexter Manley, all those great players. But it's Ryan Kerrigan. Now, Kerrigan's a guy that might be available, and if I were the Titans, I think about picking him up. And he's an aging guy. His knee is a little bit bad, but he's a guy that's got an outstanding repertoire of moves and a motor that is second to none. So he's not athletically tremendously gifted, but he'll come as hard as he possibly can until the whistle, and he'll get some of those cleanup sacks. And he makes up for his lack of elite athletic ability with the ability to start out with a move. And if that move doesn't work, he goes to a counter. And if that move doesn't work, he counters it again. You'll see him throw three different pass rush moves on one play. A lot of guys that come out of college have one great elite move, but they haven't developed those counters off of that. So it works every time. The first time in college, they get to the NFL. The first time they get stoned, now what do they do, right? And so that's one thing that Kerrigan brings. And by the way, I would consider bringing him in. I haven't looked recently to see if he's signed anywhere, but I'd consider that guy. Another one, though, over at Washington is Chase Young, second pick of the draft, defensive rookie of the year this year. He's got the same kind of motor, and he's got the same kind of ability to stack move after move after move. These are the kinds of guys that can come in and have success early in the NFL. If you can't stack moves, then you need to be incredibly explosive, because you need to have your burst off the line and your ability to turn the corner has to break down the footwork of the offensive lineman trying to block you before you ever get to any fancy moves with your hands. So I think that's why Phillips is one of those guys that you can trust, should have an effective pass rush contribution to the Titans if they do draft him in the first round, because he can throw different moves. I mean, he's got good technical excellence from that standpoint.
Trevor Maddich is our guest, ESPN College Football Analyst. Coming up next in this draft, who is he keeping his eye on? Plus, it looks like Jonnu Smith may not return at tight end. Who's out there for the draft? What does Trevor think about that position? And Trevor's got a take that I think is absurd about an AFC South team. All that's coming up. Stillman and Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. When experience matters, Jonnu Smith might be hitting the free agent market. Spotrac expects him to go to the Jets. And we're talking about $8 million a season maybe for Jonnu Smith, which means perhaps one guy in free agency, one guy in the draft. Maybe that's a route they go. Kyle Rudolph was just released by the Minnesota Vikings. So, Trevor, let's take a look at the tight end position. We know the Titans are not going to be able to get a Kyle Pitts or anybody of that magnitude. But what's out there if we're talking third, fourth round and the Titans are looking for kind of a guy to be a number two tight end who could then later maybe shift up to be a number one tight end?
You know, take a look at Ole Miss tight end Kenny Yeboah. He was their second leading receiver, and he averaged about 19.5 yards per catch. They only had 27 catches. They spread the ball around a lot, and they threw to Elijah Moore most of the time, wide receiver. But Yeboah was 19.5 yards as a tight end. Now, he's a big guy at 6'5", almost 6'6", and he's about 245 pounds. So he's the kind of a guy that has the frame to build into a strong blocker. But right off the bat, he's got the ability to win contested balls down the middle as a receiver, and that's important for this team because the play-action pass has, you know, a lot of the threat is that tight end. When the safeties come up, the tight end gets deep, and off you go. And Yeboah is one of those guys, probably third round in that area, that would be a really interesting addition to this team that they could grow into, a kind of a guy like Jonnu Smith, except better at everything that Jonnu Smith does because he's bigger, and I think he's got more deep receiving ability. So I like Yeboah as a possibility. If you want to go farther down the list, I think, you know, we've talked about this guy before, Jared, but I love Tommy Tremble, tight end out of Notre Dame. Now, he'll probably be available in the mid to late rounds. And the reason it's that late is because he came out of Notre Dame too soon. He showed the ability to block. He is a violent blocker, and this team needs a tight end that can block. If you're just this nice, skinny, split out in the slot, pass receiving tight ends, you're mildly interesting, but you need to be able to block for the play action to work. But he also is a very good receiver, but he'll be available farther down because he just doesn't have the body of work and the stats that Yeboah of Ole Miss has because there were so many other good tight ends at Notre Dame and he never really had the chance to break out statistically. So he'll be available even later in the draft. So I like both of those guys a lot for the Titans.
I mean, I'm reading up right now on Dane Brugler of The Athletic, his breakdown on Tommy Tremble, who he has as the fourth tight end on the board. And he says in his write-up, quote, although his production is lacking, his tape is enough to get evaluators excited. He displays the competitiveness to be a bulldozer as a run blocker and ties up defenders in pass protection. How important is that on a team that it runs through Derrick Henry?
That's critical because this is not a drop-back passing team, especially when you don't have the depth at wide receiver that drop-back passing teams need to have. But when you're a play-action team, then you're going max protection a lot. You're going to keep in seven, even eight guys sometimes blocking, and you're trying to get guys deep. So you don't need as much depth, but for all that to work, the play-action has to go. And so if Derrick Henry is running well, that passing attack is going to work well. And you've got to have a tight end that can block. But you might as well put an offensive tackle out there at tight end if all he's going to do is block. And so the deeper down the field that tight end can threaten on those play-action passes, the more dangerous and really deep strike the offense can be.
And just last question on tight ends. As a play-action passing team, which the Titans are, and they get the tight end involved a lot in the red zone and kind of on boots and waggles, how important is the speed element of the tight end and how important is the blocking element of the tight end for this team?
Yeah, Jared, those are great points because for this team, blocking is more important than speed. You can make up for a lack of elite speed at tight end by having a guy with a big catch radius because he's tall or because he can jump high or because he's excellent at boxing out. Both Yeboah and Tremble are good at all of those things. Neither one of them is really going to light you up. I think Kenny Yeboah's fastest time that I've seen is 4.75, but it's almost 6.6, and it 245 pounds and he'll get bigger than that. That's fast enough to get yourself in position to be able to reach up or reach out. And Tremble, same way. You know, Tremble is able to box out and jump and make catches when it's contested, when he's covered. You see him do that over and over again at Notre Dame. So number one, you know, you've got to be able to block. But between speed and catch radius, I care more that you've got that catch radius than the speed, because that means you can still make the plays when you're covered and you can be a reliable, consistent safety net for the quarterback when he's in trouble.
Trev, who are some guys you're keeping an eye on in the draft? You know, the guys that Trevor just loves every time he pops on the film.
You know something? I'm intrigued by Zaven Collins of Tulsa. He's a linebacker. He was named the top defensive player in college football. He came out of high school, had very few offers. Nobody thought he could play, but, you know, he was a multi-sport athlete in high school. He's massive. I mean, the guy as a linebacker is 6'4", 260. But he's not going to run very fast. He's probably going to run, I don't know, maybe 4.8. As a defender, that's a problem because they can get matchups on you that guys are going to run away from you. So do they keep him at linebacker? Do they put his hand in the dirt? What do they do? There have been teams that have gotten in trouble because they've taken, you know, defensive ends that were edge rushers out of college and try to stand them up on the edge and make them an outside linebacker, and those guys always get torched by trying to cover tight ends and running backs in the passing game. So then they end up putting their hand back in the dirt. So where's Zaven Collins going to go? In terms of production, the guy's a mid-first-round guy. In terms of where you would play him, I think there are enough questions that you just don't know. So to me, watching where Collins goes and how he's used is fascinating.
Trev, I look at the AFC South. You texted me today, and you said, Titans fans should be worried about Carson Wentz. And I literally laughed when I saw that text, because you and I have disagreed about a lot of things over the years. But this one, like, I'm sorry. Why should Titan fans be worried about Carson Wentz?
Do you think Carson Wentz has ever been someone that opponents need to worry about in his career in the NFL?
In 2017, he was, yes.
Yeah, who was his coach? Frank Reich.
That's his coach was Doug Peterson. Now, Frank Reich was part of it, but I don't do Frank this Reich game where we just dismiss him. The head coach.
No. But Frank Reich was coaching him. Frank Reich knows what he can do. He responds to Frank Reich. He knows what he can't do. And I think this is the most advantageous match that Wentz could possibly have. And there's a reason why Reich brought him in, because he thinks he can still play. And I will say this, that, you know, I've watched him play against Washington twice a year since he got into the league. This is Wentz now. And when he has protection, Wentz is magic. Magic. Because when he's got protection, he can throw the ball down the field. When he didn't have protection, when it broke down, he had the ability to slip out of sacks and extend plays that was just heartbreaking for the opponent. Now, what happened to Wentz the last couple of years, especially last year, was injuries on the offensive line and receivers. I mean, nobody could protect anybody in Philadelphia, especially this last season when he finally got benched. And then lots of problems with receivers, lots of injuries. So he had no time to throw. He had no one to throw to. And he got banged up because he kept trying to extend plays under those circumstances. The Colts have one of the best young offensive lines in the league. They've got to replace their left tackle now. But, you know, they've got to give him some more weapons on the edge. But at the same time, with Wright coaching him, I think that you will see the 2017 Carson Wentz. I really think he has a chance to be very, very good there.
Oh,
but
my
you think
goodness.
I'm nuts, huh?
I do. I see. There's a couple things I just don't think to travel. Like the idea of, well, he was good under Reich in 2017, so it'll be good under Reich in 2021. Like, so much has changed about him between now and then. So much has changed about Reich. So much has changed about the league. So much has changed about how the league knows him. So much has changed about the personnel he has. I mean, there's a lot of things that just aren't the same. What bothers me about the Carson Wentz situation in Indy, I mean, I'm glad he's the quarterback in Indianapolis, because it means that Indy's not going to pull a rocket out of their rear end and, you know, have a quarterback that I really fear, you know, lighting into the Titans for years and years and years. And I guess one of the things I would say is the one thing that I think is true is there were reports out of Philadelphia that when Nick Foles was there, the team preferred Foles. And then there were reports last year that when Jalen Hurts was there, the team preferred Jalen. And I don't think that's an accident. You know, Charon Davenport used to cover the Eagles, covers the Titans now. TD has talked to guys in the locker room after a game that he was covering for ESPN where he felt like the guys in the locker room were really telling him, hey, you know, we like Foles more than we like Wentz. And yeah. I that my point is leadership travels, and the lack of leadership and the unnamed sources and everything else we've heard about Wentz in that department, that's going to travel with him to Indianapolis. You don't change that.
Yeah. But you know when you like your quarterback in the locker room? When he helps you win. When he helps you win. Then you like that guy. Then you forgive things about him that are not warm and fuzzy. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has a warm and fuzzy relationship in that locker room?
No.
Do you think he's just the friendliest dude in the history of the world?
No, but I think his lack of leadership is why he's got one Super Bowl and not three or four.
Okay, but he still is league MVP. He still is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think that his lack of leadership, should it be that, is not what has caused him to only have one. I think it's the lack of defense and the lack of multiple weapons on offense that has hurt him a lot more than that. But I can tell you that you know, you've got a good point. You want a quarterback who's a great leader. You want Tom Brady as your quarterback if you can get him. But as a player in the locker room, if my quarterback is quirky, if he's not a good leader, if he's into himself, if he doesn't talk to anybody, but he works hard and he wins games, I love the guy. And we'll have other people step up and make up for some of that stuff. You're right. It's a risk for the Colts. It is a risk. You know, which Wentz is going to show up. But to me, Wentz never changed. Wentz, his production went downhill, and I'm sure his attitude suffered for it, when his production and his weapons, his protection and weapons around him suffered. I just think he has a chance to come out and be, you know, a really, really, really dangerous quarterback for Frank Reich and those Colts.
I think he's Mariota with an attitude. Good second year, gets hurt, never the same. Has an attitude. Marcus never had an attitude. That's my take. Trevor Maddich, as always, Trev, love you, baby. We will talk to you soon. Even though there was one college football thing that I just wanted to get out, but I couldn't, but we will talk soon. Trevor Maddich.
Okay, I can't wait to hear what it is.
Trevor Maddich, as always, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trev, we'll talk next week. Coming up next, there is, and I try not to play the big name game, but there is a name that is out there. We heard Trevor talk about the tight ends. I wonder how important Jonnu Smith is to you. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's use the text line now. Let's go ahead and use the text line for the T-Mobile home gate. That's right. So let me see this. It's time to text into the text line at 615-737-1025. Text the word ICE for your chance to enter the T-Mobile Hockey Home Gate with a weekend Preds game with Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Again, text the word ICE to 615-737-1025 now to enter. The winner will be contacted on Thursday. Must be 21 or older to enter. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.